Today on The Journey.
Will there ever be peace on earth? How would you answer that question? Will there ever be peace on this earth?
Peace on earth in your lifetime is possible, but only if you're under the reign of the one who is peace. Today, Ron Moore explores that reign and the astounding global changes surrounding it. First, please note the comforting devotional we'd like to send to you. It's titled Refuge, and in its 90 pages, you'll discover the path to God's sheltering presence. It's available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with 1,000 Years on the Journey.
We're going to see in our passage today that there is going to be peace on this earth, ushered in and established by Jesus Christ Himself for a long period of time, 1,000 years, or what is known as the millennium or millennial kingdom. Throughout Scripture, there is this expectation about this time when Jesus is going to reign. There's prophecy about it. There are promises regarding this kingdom in the New Testament. And now, as we have studied through the book of Revelation, after the tribulation, after the second coming of Christ in chapter 19, we see this long-awaited kingdom is established. Chapter 20. Today, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Let me read these verses, and then we will work our way through them. John says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until after the 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw the thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Now, this passage of Scripture describes a time in history when Christ will reign as king on the earth, over all the earth. Prophecy will be fulfilled. Israel will have all the land promises that God gave to them in the Old Testament. The cause of Christ will be vindicated within history. The millennial kingdom will be a convincing and tangible proof of victory. The earth will be restored and people will live in a day when righteousness will prevail over evil. The reign of Christ in this passage will be for 1,000 years. And so we call it the millennium, or again, the millennial kingdom. Now, before we get into the passage, I'm going to say something real quick. When you get to this passage of Revelation, there are about 3 routes of interpretation you can take. The first route of interpretation is called post-millennium. And post-millennialists believe that man will usher in the kingdom of God and we will live in this time of peace and prosperity like the world has never known. And after that time, then Christ will return. There's another one called amillennialism, meaning no millennium. And those who hold this, believe the Bible to be true, that Jesus to be the Son of God, that salvation to be the only way to God. But when they look at Scripture, they see that there is no millennium. And the third one, that is the historical position of our church, and certainly what I hold to, is pre-millennial, meaning that Christ will come back before the millennium. And we look at that in the chronology of Revelation. He comes back in chapter 19, and then in chapter 20, the millennium comes. He is the one who establishes the millennium. He is the one who will reign. So let's look again at chapter 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be set free for a short time. So John sees this angel coming out of heaven, sent to deal specifically with Satan. And in chapter 20, verse 2, it's interesting that all the names we find in the book of Revelation for Satan, they are used in this one verse. He is called the dragon. And the description of a dragon emphasizes a fierceness and a cruelty. He's described as the ancient serpent. The ancient serpent reminds us of his action in the Garden of Eden as he appeared as a serpent and deceived Eve. He's described as the devil. The word devil means slanderer, one who falsely accuses. Remember in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he stands before God day and night making accusations against Christians. He is the accuser. And then his official title, Satan, means adversary or enemy, and kind of encompasses everything else. So here he is, the dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil, Satan, and this very powerful angel who holds the key to the abyss, or the bottomless pit, as we've seen in Revelation, comes down, and this angel has the authority to do 6 things to Satan. These 6 things. Look at verse 2. He seized the dragon, so he took control of him. He bound him for 1,000 years. He confined or constrained the dragon for this 1,000-year period. And then in verse 3, he threw him into the abyss, demonstrating his power over Satan. He throws him in. He locked the abyss. Remember, he has the key. He sealed the abyss, so there's no chance of escape. And then finally, he releases Satan after this 1,000-year period. Now notice that during this 1,000-year period, Satan is not destroyed. He is confined and he is made, in effect, powerless for this time. Not punishment, but a preventative. Why would Satan be constrained during this 1,000-year period? Period of time. Look at verse 3. Here's why. To keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until after the 1,000 years were ended. So we have to ask the question, who are the nations? Remember, the church has been raptured. People have been martyred during the tribulation. And here at the very end, there are people still alive who have not been martyred, a remnant who have trusted in Christ. Nations don't necessarily mean countries, but this group of people, a remnant, and they are going to enter into the millennial kingdom in flesh and blood. And so Satan is confined during that 1,000-year period so that these people will not be deceived during this time of Christ's reign and righteousness on the earth. Now, one thing I want to mention here, and then we'll move on, is this 1,000 years a literal 1,000-year period? A lot of discussion here. And I believe it is for 2 reasons. One, any time in Scripture when the word year is used with a number, it's always taken literally. Secondly, 1,000 years is repeated in verses 1 through 10 six times. The purpose of repetition is to emphasize a point. And John, I believe, is making the point clear here that this is going to be a literal 1,000-year period. So again, big picture. Church has been raptured. Tribulation comes. People are martyred for the sake of Christ during the tribulation. Chapter 19, we saw 2 weeks ago, Christ returns with the armies of heaven. He destroys all those who do not believe in Him. There is a group still, though, who believe in Him, who have been kept safe, who have been secured. This remnant. And when Christ comes back, He comes back and then He establishes His earthly kingdom. Now let's spend the rest of our time talking about this kingdom. First of all, let's see who's going to be there. Who's going to be in the millennial kingdom? Well, look at verse 4 of chapter 20. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And then in verse 6, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for these 1,000 years. So there are going to be people here in this kingdom who are going to reign with Christ. Now, who are these people going to be? Well, let's look at some passages of Scripture. Matthew 19, verse 27. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So He's talking to the apostles. "You left everything. You followed Me. At the renewal of all things," millennial kingdom, we believe, apostles, you're going to be there sitting as judges. So one group will certainly be the apostles. There's another group. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians and he's saying, Christians, you don't sue other Christians. You take it before the church. And then he interjects into that passage in verse 2, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you're going to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases now? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more than the things of life?" So another group that would include the apostles are the Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. Do you not know the saints will judge the world? Those who have trusted in Christ, those who fear God, they will judge the world. One more thing here. Remember, when we started studying Revelation, we studied the seven letters to real historical churches at that time, but also representing churches throughout history. And the letter closes with these words, Revelation 3, 21 and 22. "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with Me on My throne, just as I overcame and sat down with My Father on His throne." And then Jesus says to all the churches, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So the first group, then, I believe, in the millennial kingdom are the saints of all time, Old Testament and New Testament. Been in heaven, come back to earth, bodies are resurrected from the grave, we see in 1 Corinthians 15, and our souls are reunited and we reign with Christ here on the earth. There's a second group specifically mentioned here. Look at the end of verse 4. John not only saw those who had been given authority to judge, but he also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the Word of God. They had not worshiped the beast. We know that these are specifically martyrs during the tribulation because we see they had not worshiped the beast or His image and had not received His mark on their foreheads or their hands. So here are those who, during the tribulation period, are put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And they came to life. Their souls are reunited with their resurrected bodies. John says in verse 4, at the end of it, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead, those who did not believe, they did not come to life until after the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. So you have all the Old Testament saints, all the New Testament saints. You have those who have been put to death during the tribulation period. You have one more group. We mentioned those, but let's look back again at verse 3. Satan is going to be locked up to keep from deceiving the nations. So there's going to be a group of people who at the time of Christ's second coming are alive. They won't see death, but they will be ushered in flesh and blood into the millennial kingdom. Now you say, now wait a second, that's just a little weird. Because you've got Jesus there ruling, you've got resurrected bodies on earth, and then you've got flesh and blood bodies. What's the precedent for that? Jesus Christ Himself, after the resurrection. In a resurrected body, He spent 40 days on the earth, walking around, talking, eating, but He walked around teaching and communicating with those in flesh and blood. So here will be a time when that same scenario happens as well. So you've got three groups of people in the millennial kingdom: Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, those martyred during the tribulation, and then those who have, through faith in Christ, survived the tribulation. So Jesus will be reigning as King. We're going to reign with Him. Where's this reign going to take place? That's the other question. Well, look at chapter 20, verse 9. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city He loves. What is the city He loves as we look through Scripture? It's Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. Speaking of the millennial kingdom, at that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all nations will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. No longer will they follow the stubbornness of their hearts. So we have the inhabitants, saints of all time, those martyred, those who flesh and blood enter into the kingdom. We have Christ as the King reigning, headquartered in Jerusalem. What will this 1,000-year period be like? Well, we don't know all the details, but there are some things we do know. Number one, there's going to be peace between the nations. On the earth, during this period of time, there will finally be peace among the nations. Isaiah, talking about this time in chapter 2, verse 4, says this: Christ, He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. So no more war. There'll be peace on earth. There will also be peace in nature. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. Look at verse 5. Righteousness will be His belt, and faithfulness the sash around His waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. A cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw with the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on My holy mountain. Peace between nations, peace in nature, and here's one: full knowledge of God throughout the whole earth. Look at the end of verse 9 of chapter 11. for the earth will be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. How do the waters cover the sea? Fully. The earth will be full of the knowledge of God, just as the waters cover the sea. We also know from Scripture there'll be changes in climate. Again, the whole earth will be changed. Isaiah chapter 35, the burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs, and the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And we also know during this time, there will be long lives for those, again, who have entered into this kingdom with flesh and blood. Those in resurrected bodies, we're living forever. But those who have entered into the kingdom in flesh and blood, long and prosperous and satisfying lives. Isaiah chapter 65. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They'll plant vineyards, and they're going to eat the fruit of their vineyards. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. Whole climates change, long lives, peace in nature, no war, and the knowledge of God will cover the earth as water covers the sea. What about the spiritual life in the millennial kingdom? Well, the first thing is this. Christ will be the one object of worship for all people. Isaiah 66 says this, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord. Christ will be the sole object of worship. Secondly, spiritual life. Christ will establish the center of worship in Jerusalem. Ezekiel 37 says this, my dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. That original intention of God will finally be accomplished. Christ will reign on this earth in history as king. All the promises of the Old Testament in Israel will finally be fulfilled, and we will reign with him forever.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Are you looking for a place to shelter from life's inevitable storms? Is your heart desperate for a calm harbor to rest? Would you like to find safety and peace of mind where neither seem possible? Well, the place where those are discovered is described in Ron Moore's encouraging devotional titled Refuge. Within its 90 pages, God's promises of comfort, protection, and healing will revive your spirit. Refuge is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Babies are going to be born, and they are going to live under the reign of Christ. They'll never know about wars. They'll never know about disease. And yet, in the end, they will rebel against Christ. They're going to go through the outward motions of worshiping Christ. When Satan is released, they will join him in rebellion, even having known the millennial kingdom all their lives.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember that Ron's devotional booklet, Refuge, is yours for a donation of any amount. Whether dark clouds are gathering on the horizon or they're directly overhead, Refuge offers shelter from the storm. You can get it online at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org, BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.